Yeah, you're welcome.
That's yours.
Thank you very much. Good guy. Do I have to talk into the microphone? No. Can I walk around?
Good. All right. Hey, everybody. My name's Mark. I'm an alcoholic.
I'm all right.
Sure good to be here. And I was listening to what you were saying, and it's nicely how you alluded into unity and service, the other two legacies, that we just, I think, don't spend enough time thinking in terms of what does unity mean, what is in terms of in service. But we spent a lot of time on recovery. I know I did. I was years sober before I gave anything other than recovery the least of a thought. I was a lot of years sober. In fact, one day I was sitting down with my sponsor, and I insisted I needed to do some more steps. And I had done the steps a million times. You may not have known it by looking at me at the time, and he probably. I'm sure that was all in his head too, but I just wasn't in a position where more steps was going to help me. He never said this to me then, but I've heard it said by some and him and others, and it's that we have a selfish disease. Obviously, continually thinking of ourselves is not going to cure that. That the steps are nothing but preparation to go do some work. We're getting ready to do God's work. We need to be prepared. The steps are preparing us to do some work. They're not an end in and of themselves. They're simply preparing us to go out and do what God has us done too. And so that's the first time I'd ever heard that. But I still insisted. I said, look, I need to talk about myself, if you don't mind, a little bit. And so I was going to go on and do that. And finally he just looked at me and said, do you think you could take your finger off your pulse for a few minutes, please? He tried one other less, more indirect thing. I didn't recognize what it was at the time. But he asked me about a guy. There was a guy in our group who was just kind of floundering. He just couldn't quite get dug in. And he said, what do you think about so-and-so? What a strange thing to ask me now. I'm right in the middle of telling him that, you know, about my problems. And he wants to talk about this guy. I said, well, you look fine to me. Anyway, back to myself. And he kind of drug me back. And I had done four steps. God knows. I put him to sleep once in a fourth step. Now, I'm not poo-pooing steps. That's not what I'm doing. Have you ever sponsored somebody who said, I need to work the steps with you? And they've been in that fellowship for a while. That's usually a sign they don't need to work the steps. They need to get out and help somebody. In my case, I was looking to talk, not get into action. Anyway, I went on with his force. At one point, I looked over there, and I swear his eyes were nodding off. I was revealing my inner secrets, the things that were absolutely horrible. And apparently, he heard them a time or two before. But anyway, I made it through that, and I did get through the steps, thankfully, and got in some stuff, some service, and unity. So we've got a bunch of folks here today. Rather than preach, what I'm thinking we ought to do is break up into, we got about 16 folks, groups of five, four or five, and we just start counting off, and we're going to divide ourselves and do this like a workshop. You don't mind if we do it that way? And what each group is going to do is discuss what this tradition means to them personally, what the tradition means to them in terms of their own AA group, and I think the conferences, was it the traditions and collections? Okay. And what that tradition means in terms of corrections, how it applies to a correctional facility or work in corrections. And then we're just going to discuss them. So, will you start counting?
All right, 1, 2, 3, 4.
You
got to remember your number, 2.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4.
And I'll be 5. So, everybody remembers their number. Why don't we have the 1s sit up in here? 2's over here, 3's, 4's, and 5's. We got a fair amount of work to do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's the 5 back there. 4's kind of in the middle.
Somebody over there is. Somebody over there is really a 4.
All right. So we'll just give ourselves about 10 minutes, and we'll try and get to the first five traditions. And again, just think what it means in your personal life. How do you use this tradition in your own personal life, in your AA life? What does this tradition mean in your correctional work? And then we're going to go around and kind of find somebody as a spokesperson, and then they can kind of answer your questions.
Yeah, I'm already.
And your tradition, tradition one, two, y'all serious about it.
Just do two.
You're number two.
That's right, we're running on mine.
Yeah. I'm not the only one. No, I don't think you were either.
It's cool this unit's
going to have full.
so I don't think they're high stakes.
Traditions. I wish we had enough time to get through all of them because they're just all great traditions. If y'all, if anybody care to speak about what you think number one means on a personal basis in terms of your own group and in terms of corrections. And then we open it up for discussion, profane. But we, if we did each one in 5 minutes, we won't run out of time. We'll get around the room. So don't go over 5 minutes.
Okay. All right, so our group was, I'll just go around and remember what everybody said. It begins as simple as me coming to the meeting.
What is the first
tradition? Oh, first tradition. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. So we decided at the very newcomer level, it was coming to the meeting, whether I think I need to come to the meeting or not. And then from there, we decided that in order for I will surely die if I run my life on my own thinking. So I have to use the group's thinking in order for the primary purpose, to stay sober and carry the message. I have to use the group's thinking. Now I get to share my thoughts within my home group, but when the home group decides this is what we're going to do, I have to fall in line and do it with the home group, because I'll just run from group to group to group to group eventually, and won't be able to stay sober. Another experience was we tried carrying the message as an individual, and we found out that didn't work. We felt like we were out there alone. We became frustrated, lonely. Sounds like drinking. But AA unity. There was no AA unity in that exercise of just a single AA running around by itself trying to do AA service. And so that didn't work. And then we decided at home, we talked about how is this tradition implemented at home. Well, we decided that if only one person wants to, it's a family, and only one person wants to do something, very little is going to get done. We have to use the tradition. We have to work together for a common goal. So family unity.
you know, this is what we decided to do. You know, we decided on Monday we're going to do this. And so in order for us to have a successful family life, then we have to do it that way. The same way at work. One of us said there is no I in team. And so at work, is there unity? Is everybody there to do the job? Or is some of us there to just do whatever we want to do, which creates chaos?
So you're saying that folk are doing things that aren't in the welfare of the group, and if they're alcoholic like me, they can't understand why I can't understand why I can't just do what the heck ever I want, despite the fact it's detrimental to the organization. Yeah, that I'm as free as I could be, provided I don't injure the organization.
Yeah, and I couldn't see that. That's the self-centeredness in me. You know, I couldn't see why my way wasn't the right way to do it.
It's open to discussion. Anybody has that experience, maybe in their home, doing something that undermines the welfare of the home. I mean, I'm in the sports cars. I tell you just one quick one. I told my pregnant girlfriend's mother at the time, we never did get married. It was before I got sober. I said, I like sports cars. I said, look, we don't have much money, but here's what we can do. We're going to get a trailer and live in it. But then we're going to build this huge garage because I want to put it. And she just was aghast, and I was like, what? That is a true story. I'm like, damn, how am I going to get this worked out? Anybody else got that issue where their will is in collision with what would destroy the thing that keeps us alive, the family, the home group, AA as a whole, that the group would do something detrimental to AA as a whole, or that I would do something detrimental to my family and destroy the very thing that keeps me alive? Anybody identify with that, doing it, not doing it? How bad, how few promotions are if you don't do it?
I got one.
Yeah.
It's football season.
Yeah.
I actually like football. Sundays, you know, I was persistent about watching the games, going to the game. I was all into it. Of course, before that. Maybe I should have been a little bit more sensitive.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. No, wait, so what you were doing was a little undermining to the whole organization, maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I always think in terms of money or, like, if I'm at work, I've got this project I want to do. Never mind the organization, if the thing that I'm working for gets driven into the ground, well, that's inconsequential. We really need to get this done. That kind of single, that very narrow-mindedness that... Before we move to the next group, do anybody... I went in prison work. I mean, my temptation, if you ask me, is that when I go to the facilities, like, dude, y'all just need to put everything you're doing on the back burner. We got this AA group coming in, and this needs to be paramount right now. Security, well, we'll get to that later. And so quite, I mean, I have to recognize that group's primary purpose is to do what it does to incarcerate folks. And my AA group that we're creating in that prison can't jeopardize that. Those are things I'd never have thought of. I just didn't think like that. I would just get pissed off. Why is this ward not seeing it my way? And for God's sakes, man. The security thing, he's making too much of it. So a few guys get out. We need to have guys, AAs, coming in all hours of the night, do 12 steps, you know, 4 steps. I'm exaggerating the point, but you can see how... I mean, these traditions are so powerful. I mean, I did that sort of stuff. I don't know if anybody else... I just did it my whole life. I never recognized why there was so much opposition to what I wanted to do. It was... The group could see what I was doing was detrimental to the group, but I couldn't. Whatever the group was, an AA group or if I killed it, I was just going to go to the next one. If I killed a group and I killed marriages, plural, and jobs, exponential, I'd just go to the next one. But AA was the first place I really decided I wasn't going to go to the next one. And people helped me. You're not going to kill this one, the group. Because if the groups die, then the fellowship die. If the groups kill the fellowship through goofy things or whatever. Yeah, that first tradition is heavy.
We decided it was kind of like powerlessness, like the first step, like the same principle. that we were shown in the first step is also the same principle in the first tradition.
That we subordinate ourselves to the whole organization as a whole, whatever it is, society as a whole.
Your higher power.
Right, right. Yeah, like if I wanted to create a society of anarchists because I'm happy like that, it would kill society and democracy. Well, who cares about that? At least I'm happy. Those are the sorts of things that, I mean, I had this notion once I wasn't going to pay any income tax and quit paying it for 3 years. Then I got sober and someone said, you may want to pay income tax for I wrote him a letter, I ain't paying no more tax. What if everybody did that? The whole thing would go down. I never once thought of that. I paid tons of money to get this untaxing kid. Crazy stuff. Where you're sober, they sent it to me. The guy that sent it to me did go to prison, but he sent it to me, and you got to write a letter and say, I'm a citizen of this state, and we don't have, I'm not a federal citizen, I don't pay taxes. It never occurred to me, what would happen, Mark, if everybody did that? Well, I guess we wouldn't have any national defense. But if you ask me if it was right, yeah, it's right. I'm right. This insanity, just insane alcoholic thinking. How about number two?
All right. Well, for our group purpose, this is a long poem. There is the one ultimate authority, loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience.
Yeah.
And interestingly, the short form is long because it ends on, our leaders are the trusted servants, they do not go.
Yeah.
Okay, so what we kind of came up with here is that really group conscience, what we're talking about, is not that little business meeting that happens on Monday night, 20 minutes before the meeting, we get a secretary's report, and the coffee pot's broken, we need to fix the coffee pot or whatever. But really what it is when we discuss what the problem is, be it in the group or in a marriage or a business or jobs or wherever, that there is an intuition, there is a kind of a group thinking that seems to go to a certain level where we're all kind of on the same page. For example, I think some of the things that came up was like at home, one person feels like they need to do this, the other person feels like they need to do this. There's some conflict. If time is given for, like, for example, in my case, I know that my wife would say, I would ramrod forward what I wanted to have done, and she'd say, well, let me walk around the block on that for just a minute. You get me that real quick, you have a chance to think about it. And in the meantime, you know, at first, in terrible alcoholic sickness, I'd be thinking really hard. You know, she's going to come out the fist and eat a nail in the head.
That's it.
But over time, that thinking time gave me a time to think about, well, maybe I'm looking at this the wrong way because I'm seeing she's got to think about it. Is that really not a hot idea right off the bat? And the second thing is they have a chance to kind of think and come up with another plan or maybe how we can kind of modify. And both of us have been in an overnight modifying mood. Next thing you know, we kind of come up with a marriage or a modification of the plan that seems to work well, you know, when it's all fitting. And both of us feel better about that plan when it's done. I know in the groups, I think this was brought up, that, you know, our leaders, for example, we pick people to be, you know, like, to stand up at the podium and say, lead the meeting, or, you know, kind of get started and kind of close it. But they are just trusted servants. That position is rotated in and out of. You don't stay there forever just doing that. The idea behind that is just because you kind of need a spokesperson out of the group or the crowd just to kind of get it up. But that everybody's decided on what the meeting starting time is, what the meeting ending time is. What we're going to do in that meeting, is it going to be a discussion meeting, a topic meeting, a literature meeting, a speaker meeting, you know, how that's going to go. And so then we try to follow, you know, and it's something that everybody just kind of says, yeah, that's a good idea. I think that was, you know, like when this group got started, there were five or six of us that talked about this meeting, And the thought was that we would share equal time with men and women, that we would have people that are clear on the steps of recovery so that we know we're not just talking about anything anybody wants to out there, but we're talking about AA and kind of sticking within the limits of that. We'd start on time, we'd end on time, so people could plan if they got something else to do, or they got rides, they could get in and get out, whatever.
So that was a group conscience. Nobody just said, here's the way we're going to do it, because I'm so-and-so.
These are all thoughts that people came up with that kind of helped put this together and make it, you know, a more unified group. And over time, some of those things have changed. Basically, what's changed is we've added cake and cookies to the same thing. It's folks coming in here and they're like, shut it up, you know. No. It's kind of a neat thing because then we've all enjoyed stepping up to that chore. You know, I got to make cookies, you know. It's Sunday, I got to make cookies, and I got to make cake or whatever, you know what I mean? And we all kind of start thinking about the things we got to do for this meeting. It's kind of a neat thing. It kind of keeps us involved in the group. But again, I think we've all kind of come through. I think, you know, Bob has gone to really the point on the job and talking about being on the job. And we're, you know, if the idea is for the company, it's not just one man worried about all the money getting in his pocket. But if the idea of those of us working for that company is that we're all there to make that company money so we can all have jobs, then we tend to work together back to the first tradition from the second tradition. We tend to have this psychology together as a team. How do we work together? And that's kind of a God conscience where we all come from. That's just kind of what we've got.
Anybody else? My wife and I once, I think I'm pretty right brain, pretty artistic, I think. And I was putting the pictures and paintings right where I wanted on the walls. And it just didn't quite look right. And the first time I recognized that, I said, yeah, she was kind of walking by. I said, what do you think? And I knew she'd never be able to top what I had. I said, what about right about over here? Oh, like that with the, you know, with the chair? Damn, why didn't I think of that? Oh, that was a coincidence. And then again, I'd do something, and lo and behold, I found we did it together, that the consensus had a magical quality about it, which is different than democracy. In democracy, you gather a political cloud, win the vote, and then one group loses, is pissed, won't do anything to win it, but consensus, that's what I heard you saying, it's a consensus, it's something beyond a simple democratic vote. AA, you know, AA concepts are all about that. It says we always hear the minority opinion, we don't accept a democratic vote unless for sake of time we have a choice. Don't they say that? They say we really want to listen to and try and arrive at a consensus as opposed to like a jury. All important decisions are consensus decisions.
I'd like to throw one thing out there. I heard this about someone in service and they were talking about at the state level, at the state convention. You may be aware of this case, but supposedly what happened was the state secretary had absconded with the treasurer had absconded.
When that happens.
And the vote throughout the group was to have legal consequences for that person. And one person raised their hand and said, you know, I feel like that person has a God, a higher power. And that should be between them and their God. We will survive this in the morning. And the whole group, after time thinking about it, reversed their decision, said not to take any legal action. The person eventually paid the money back. They lost their position, but eventually they paid the money back.
God.
And it all ended up working out, and there was no legal consequences for the very own person. Now, that was told me by someone who was there at that when that happened several years ago. And she mentioned that they had been longer than that. And several years ago, she told the story. And that was all about what the group power of the group conscience. And everybody getting a chance to think about it and really thought about it.
Anybody else thoughts on the group conscience, how it's different than just simple democratic?
Well, what's the AA leader?
It's a servant. That's all he is. Yeah, as I see it. He's a guy today. He said, Billy, are you willing to go do this? Yep. Go do it. And then the concepts empower him to do it. And we can't micromanage him. The concepts tell him he has, you know, right of decision and, you know, all kinds of stuff. Otherwise, it wouldn't. It would be a farce. But there's a real interesting balance between that, I think. I always was on the wrong side. I elect somebody. We're on a committee. We elected someone to do something many times, and then we all micromanage them. Yeah, we're going to have this. You guys have a committee to do that, and then that committee would just do one little tiny thing. We'd go, hey, wait a minute, you need to run that past the group as a whole. The committee was completely disempowered, but that's the concepts to talk about how to. Yeah, that's neat stuff. How about number three?
Our membership ought to include all who suffer from alcoholism, hence we may refuse no one who wishes to recover. Nor ought AA membership ever depend upon money or conformity. Any 2 to 3 alcoholics gathered together for sobriety may call themselves an AA group, provided that as a group they have no other affiliation. And that's like a huge tradition, so we took part of it. Talking about, you know, anyone is welcome to an AA meeting. Kind of relating to, we talked a little bit about like having an ACAC card. You have a membership to ACAC, but unless you go in and use the equipment and swim in the pool, whatever, you're not going to get fit and not sprinkled with fitness because you have this little one. And the same thing with Alcoholics Anonymous, the primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety, and you have a message to carry. And so we talked a little bit about structure within the group and about how it's kind of like, what do you stand for? If you really believe in unity, going back to unity and all, then if someone comes in drunk or disorderly, we can, you know, what do we stand for? Do we let them take control of the group because they're still suffering alcoholic and they're using us, you know, as part of their victimization? Or do we come together as a group and try, you know, to offer, this is what we have to offer, please listen to us, share, whatever. We want to offer a solution, not stay in the problem. And some groups go so far as to have maybe a meeting in the beginning, stating that fact, this is a solution meeting, we'd like to stay, you know, fit to the solution of Alcoholics Anonymous and to carry the message, and if you're having a problem, we'll be happy to talk to you after the meeting, but can we please stay in the solution? My sponsor-in-law says, you know, sometimes where anything goes in a meeting, nobody goes. And these meetings that tend to stay in the problems and we're whining about, oh, my ex did this and my kids hate me and, you know, and the new wife wants to kick me, all this stuff, if we allow, I don't want to say that because anyone in the meeting can really share, but if we go with that mindset of constantly everyone goes around the table and saying how they've been mistreated by their exes or parents or whatever, to a solution, and who wants to go to that meeting? That's Quentin. In the relationship, we didn't do it to the correction, sorry, but we did talk a little bit about relationship, and again, it kind of followed along the lines of that uncomfortability, you know, being uncomfortable about saying what you stand for, it may be uncomfortable, but it's necessary. And if you're going to have communication, even with like the two people or with the whole family, and to be able to have a guideline, so to speak, a structure to say, you know what, honey, I have something to say, and I'd like to be able to say it, and let me finish before anything else is said, and then still have a dialogue there, not to block the other person out. But then to give each other permission to, you know, well, this is a little heavy for you, kind of like what all traditions do. It's the same guidelines. It's a little heavy right now. You know, I think I can keep it to myself. I'm getting ready to have an event here. Maybe we should stop discussing right now. Or just to have that open dialogue, whatever it is, to for the benefit of, like, the relationship. It's you know, to promote the relationship, not to make the other person feel bad so that the other person feels better, so to speak. And that was kind of our take, pretty much.
What about if you don't like somebody? Can they be a member of your group?
Sure.
What if they're obnoxious? They talk too much.
Absolutely. All welcome.
That's a powerful tradition, isn't it?
Hopefully they'll get members.
Yeah, right. Maybe they won't, but they're still welcome.
We can be examples.
Isn't this the first place, and I think the first place in the world I ever saw that I could just accept somebody just as they were? I didn't have to fix them. They didn't have to meet any criteria. Yeah, it sure does. All I know how to do is stick out my hand. Dude, I don't care if you're standing there naked. Well, I mean, come as you are. I mean, but that does. I mean, there are some people that would matter. I mean, I like to use this story. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Make sure it's your hand. My wife likes to ride horses, and she loves those things. I can't stand them. Well, can't stand them. That's a strong word. Let's just say if I drove home tonight and there were 12 hooves pointed straight up in the field, I wouldn't, I'd just keep on driving. And I mean, that's a true story. One time I was out jogging I was riding my dirt bike and I left a little corral open. This was about a week ago. And I didn't realize that the fence between those two corrals, or what do they call them, fields, she calls them, was open. And the horse over there could walk through the connection and then walk out and go around the neighborhood and visit. And so I rode around the field, went back, went in the house, went to bed. It was about 2 or 3 in the morning. I just woke up and I thought, oh my gosh. And I thought about that thing stomping around and out there and getting lost and all that. Well, I did go right back to sleep. And as a joke. But the reality is, I always thought that she had to be a certain way to be in our marriage. And she had to be a certain way. Their church tradition wasn't with me. She had to have some certain beliefs. One time I ain't going to say what I told her. But it just took me a long time to just accept folks in my home group, in my home, by my family, my wife. She could be, if she's not violating some other tradition, like, you know, 7 traditions, spend a lot of money. But if she wanted to be Jewish, that's fine. All that stuff. Yeah, I could just get free of that. That third tradition is powerful to keep me from, Bill, you're just not good enough to join his group. We don't take people like that, or whatever the case would be, or they'd be in this marriage. You don't dress right. Why do you dress like that? Get a job. That's another issue. But, well, even at that, you ought to work here. You ought to do this. Why do you like that hobby? Or why do you watch that? That third tradition, just live and let live, is really what's behind that. And I have failed miserably. That one time I did tell her, I said, you know, by the amount of money that we pay those horses to feed those things, we could feed someone in a third world country for like a year. And it was about a year before she talked to me again. So making people feel bad for their own beliefs really doesn't work. That third tradition is just powerful. Yeah, that's, I know we're going to run out, but what about number 4?
Okay, so tradition 4, each group has
that's a powerful one.
Going around our group, we kind of felt that autonomy by definition means self-government. Yeah. It kind of hit home for me. You know, just now, get my driver's license back. Yeah. And through that autonomy, you know, bring it to self-government, I feel a little bit freer. And it would be of more service to me, and it would be more service to my family. And it would feel more activity, more things and you like that, because I have that freedom to do as I like to. And then we look at it, you know, in respect to meetings. You know, we have meetings where there's a lot of education going on, and then you have meetings where there's speakers. You have meetings where it's just traditional. Open or close. And some meetings like to do promises, some don't. But the main thing, I think we mentioned that we make sure that alcohol acceptance goes forth first, the solution goes forth first, and then we stick to the basics of the principles of the program within the groups. Then we got into another topic about autonomy within the family. Say you want to do some home improvements on your home, and your family has, you know, a livelihood that you want to maintain. You want to make sure that through the decision to do whatever you do there, that you don't break down the livelihood that comes up in the family is used to.
Right, that's first tradition, right on.
Yeah. And then we got into another topic on the workplace. You know, you have job descriptions. And some jobs, you know, you have team leaders, and then you have other jobs where individual things. tasks themselves. We don't want expectations to get in the way, especially if you're a team leader. So you're a team leader and you have folks that work under you, and if they don't do exactly what you want them to do, you know, you don't want to take it personally. And you don't want to get all balled up in a knot because of it. Again, you know, it's just time for you to get back together with that person or the team as a whole and try to bring it back into line. And so the conscience can go forward.
Right.
I like, we made a video. We've done TV shows, radio shows. It'd be like you were saying, Sam was saying, we're pretty busy. And some of the people in the AA community said, how could you go on TV? How could you do that? And we did it with the back of our heads. We were anonymous. Or this video, how could you make it? Just making a video, well, that's going to be it. Is that going to affect AA as a whole? And that tradition tells me that we can do whatever we want in our home group, provided it does not affect other groups or AA as a whole. So it gives us the freedom and the responsibility that a group will live and die by its decisions. Nobody, other groups don't have the right to intervene unless it's affecting them or AA as a whole. That empowers our group. It's so empowering, that tradition. We are autonomous. It doesn't say could be. It says each group ought to be. It's almost as though they're encouraging us to do what we see God's will in our group, so that AA is a diverse organization. AA encourages diversity. Each person can do what they want. Each group does it the way they want to do it. Because if one group goes bad, we got to have some that aren't bad. I believe that someone has to survive. If we become unautonomous, we're going down together. I mean, you've got to do it your way. We've got to do it our way. We've got to opt to be autonomous. It's a pretty strong word. I think that's what assures our survival, that we never become a top-down. Here's how you've got to do it. Let me tell you, you run your own group. I don't know how. I just think it's powerful. And in my own home life, I got a dirt bike. My wife don't like it, but it's not affecting anything. I ride it. She got her horses. We're autonomous. My kid is autonomous. He can do whatever he wants if it doesn't affect others in the family or the family as a whole, provided it's legal. But I use that if you want to have marijuana in the house. I'm not holier now. I'm just saying you can't do it. That affects the family. Instead of me using my power, Dad, you do what I tell you. No, it's not fair to the family. You can't do that. Or if somebody's not, that autonomy thing is, that fourth tradition is a freeing tradition. You can really look at an issue and go, am I just trying to control somebody here? Or is there a principle? Is this their autonomy I'm trying to deprive them of? Powerful stuff. How about number five? That's a good one.
The fifth tradition is each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholics that suffers. And I learned that that life is autonomy, this kind of goes hand in hand with the autonomy, number three also, that each group has the option to decide what their group is going to be, what their primary purpose is for that group, whether it's going to be open meetings or speaker meetings.
Kind of how they're going to execute the primary purpose, don't you mean? Yeah.
And what the primary purpose is for that group.
Yeah. Well, they kind of agreed it was to carry the message to the next still suffering alcoholic, but reading its primary, its message, meaning each group has its own way of doing it. We were commenting that the tradition doesn't say carry the message, it says carry its message. That gives that group the right to do it in the flavor it sees fit. However, it decides to carry its message. Again, it ensures autonomy. That was powerful.
Welcoming the newcomer into the meeting, how I live my life in serenity is what the newcomer needs to see in my life and the life of everybody in the group, but also they need to feel welcomed into the group. And then sometimes carrying a message to an alcoholic who is suffering can be recognizing that an alcoholic that's got a lot of years is hurting right then, and might be having a down or hurting several months or something, and so carrying the message could be not just to a newcomer, but also to reach out to someone who's got a lot of time, but it needs some help right then to get through.
In terms of our personal life, we commented too that when I'm at work, much as I like AA, my primary purpose at work is to provide anesthesia. That's it. I can't go healing everybody in there or to weld or to run a liquor store. That you can't do 12-step calls and run the liquor store. You're going to get fired. And the same with me. And I struggle with that. I want to do all right. It's just good work, isn't it? I should be able to do this everywhere. No. No, if your primary purpose at work is to provide, that's what they're paying me to do. I was always torn by that. I was always doing the wrong thing in the wrong place, at least seemingly most of my life. But that fifth tradition in my own marriage, I was sharing it. I thought I was going to make a purpose for my marriage, and it was to have foster kids. We did that. I thought that was my primary purpose for our marriage. Now, anybody's marriage, that's not fair. But that was my will. It took me a long time to realize that the marriage existed just for us. They didn't have any primary purpose beyond us. And it was wrong for me, no matter how noble my cause seemed to be, that marriage had that. It was not that marriage's primary purpose. I had no business trying to, you know, use guilt and shame and all the other techniques I used to employ to push my wife on it. Well, we're about out of time. Yeah, that was good stuff. That is good. Anybody got any more comments before we close it?
I think we saw too that we are on time. You know, we need to make sure that there's progress, not perfection.
Yeah, we can bounce around after purpose.
Right.
Isn't that nice? Yeah, that is.